More info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. Craig Huey is with us, the coordinator and speaker for the Election Forum, publisher of one of the largest Christian political newsletters in America, The Huey Report. Mr. Craig, how are we doing, buddy?
Great, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Glad to have you on the show here to talk about, the obvious refrain, the politicians just keep lying to us. I mean, these states and bureaucrats getting billions of dollars you write about that they don't need. I mean, it's amazing how they've benefited under COVID. And while the Treasury is open, Nancy Pelosi has the doors open and everything. It's like, hey, bring your carpet bags, come on in and fleece the American people. Why not?
Bill, you know, your listeners are going to be shocked and disturbed by this, but they're not going to be overly surprised. It's outrageous. It's a big lie. It's politicians and bureaucrats creating a false narrative at everybody's expense, except the politician, except the agenda to grow the power and size of government, to make the government more coercive, powerful, and basically promote a socialist agenda.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because, and I wanted to ask this of Liz Peek earlier, who was a former Wall Street analyst. I mean, she's brilliant and one of the top Wall Street analysts in her time. And that is, with all this spending that you're talking about, you know, we got another $6 trillion that Joe Biden is presenting and what we've already spent and the deficits and everything. I mean, an infrastructure is being put in place that's compromising our very own security and, you know, the economics of this country, is it not?
It is. We are nearing an economic crisis. Every listener knows when they go to the store, prices are rising. Mm-hmm. What's happening is in this massive deficit spending, historic. Never before in the history of the world has such amount of money into the money supply been poured into, which will cause the dollar to go down in value and prices to rise, affecting everybody. But that's not even the worst of it, Bill. You know, one of the things that passed, for example, it was something, and your listeners probably remember the American Rescue Plan. You know, they use that beautiful term, a great narrative, American Rescue Plan. And what were they rescuing? They were rescuing people who lived in states that every state was supposedly in massive deficit, and the governments couldn't pay their bills, and there would be this crisis that would sweep America. So they passed $350 billion in state aid to bail out the state. But, Bill,
yes,
the states never needed to be bailed out. Right. Only in April of 2020, May of 2020, and June of 2020 did they have a deficit. But because of these government policies of the lockdown, small businesses, entrepreneurs, ordinary workers were crushed. But the big businesses, they prospered. The you know, the markets, the big lots, Amazon, and that brought in state revenue at a historic level. And so they were saying these states were going to be bankrupt. You had to spend this incredible $350 billion for state bailout. And just look at these, just a few statistics. California has a $72 billion surplus.
Exactly.
Not deficit, but they got $27 billion of everybody's money to bail them out. Mm-hmm. New Jersey has a $6.8 billion surplus, but they got $6 billion additional dollars for the bailout. Arizona, $1.6 billion, $4 billion for the bailout. In Texas, they have $725 million surplus. They get $15 billion. It's not fair. It's not right. And it has devastating consequences down the road. Bill, if these governments are going to spend that money, now what they're going to do is
how much of that money, Craig, is going to pay off, you know, some political debts here? I mean, you know, whether it was Obama, you know, Biden is following the same formula. I mean, he's taking care of all the cronies that got him elected, you know, and got him into office. This is all payback stuff. It's kind of like what Peter Schweitzer had reported on with Obama, that, you know, about 85% of the bundlers, these are the guys that put together the money to get him elected. Yeah. And they would get up to about, they'd raise about up to $250, I think it was like $250 million or something. And I could be off by a zero, so forgive me. But anyway, they raised a lot of money, all these bundlers. And a good percentage of them, I mean, the majority of them, for every dollar they raised, Craig, at the people's expense, they got something like 25,000 ROI.
Exactly. And you're going to see that happening. And the politicians, and they're doing all their pet projects that are going to destroy private capital, put it in the hands of the government. It's going to enlarge the power of government over the lives of the people. You're going to have new bureaucracies created with unaccountable bureaucrats who will never go away. When you expand government, it's almost impossible to have it go away. And then when the money runs out from this massive, unfair infusion of cash from the federal government, then the states are going to have to raise taxes.
Of course.
And
well, a lot of that stuff, Craig, we're seeing it now. It's going to vapor with inflation.
Yeah.
I mean, naturally, you know, nobody's going to do anything. It's just inflation is vaporing cash right now, right before our eyes. I mean, just as you said, you know, the everyday citizen going to the grocery store and going, wait a minute, what's going on with bread here? What's happening? Oh, gas, you know, at every turn, all these commodities. I mean, this is the thing that amazes me. And this is why there's such an outpouring. In fact, yesterday I went down to a dinner with DeRoy Murdoch for Club for Growth, and as I was going down the 95 freeway here in Florida, on one of the bridges over the freeway, there was probably three dozen people with, you know, with flags and big signs. He's, you know, Biden's not my president, and you know, and that's what's happening. You have this groundswell of people going, hey, I didn't vote for him. Well, you know, supposedly the media wants us to believe 82, 85 million voted for him. And even though they're still counting the votes, trying to figure out exactly what happened, because it doesn't seem to add up that here it is, you know, not that many months ago, we were energy independent. We were on our road to prosperity, unemployment, the lowest it had ever been in all the demographics. It didn't matter the color of your skin. It was equal opportunity. Things were rolling, and all of a sudden we're going to vote him out and bring in this knucklehead and who's compromising everything from energy independence and has us, you know, having to deal with, you know, the Russians causing all kinds of problem, hacking our industry and stuff like that. I can tell you that would not have that would not have happened under Donald Trump. Plus, on top of that, you know, you've got, you know, Biden with all his entanglement with Hunter Biden. How does he confront China when the people now are starting to realize that, Trump was right again, that the Chinese were reckless in the release of this coronavirus, Craig?
Everything that you just said is 100% right, and your listeners have a right to be angry, disappointed. I don't want them to be discouraged because, Bill, you're looking back at what should have happened, which is a Congress and a president where this would not happen, but it's happened. And part of that has to do with the fact that people did not vote. People did not try to get others to vote. Part of that has to do with voter fraud, which luckily many states have now initiated new rules and regulations to prevent future voter fraud. More need to do so.
Well, this was voter fraud on such a massive scale, Craig.
Yeah.
That our Congress not wanting to address this, that they want to address what happened on January the 6th. And the disenfranchised conservatives and Republicans are saying, hey, what we don't even know what happened back in November. Why don't you put some money and some energy into figuring out what happened there? And we're looking at a midterm election and another election coming up in 2024. And we don't think you've solved the problem, much less solved the problem with the coronavirus.
Yes, you know, it's a failure of leadership, but that's why your listeners.
Hey, Craig, we got to go to break. We got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. More from Craig Huey. You know, I say, hey, it's one thing to look for it, but another thing is to take the responsibility to be the revival. Go be the revival of one. It's what your family needs. I mean, the country's one thing, but you know, we've got to start with the most important, you know, basic building block of our country, and that is the family. And this lawlessness and chaos that's been running amok in our country, you know, people walking down the street, just going about their business, getting their heads knocked off, and, you know, the kind of lawlessness that's happening. This is all, you know, Craig Huey, this is all the result of people turning their back on God. I'm totally convinced of that. You can't tell me any different. And, at times we've had revivals, as Charles Finney says, when we need it. And boy, I'll tell you, if we ever needed one, it is now. And before we can get to revival, we need that heart softening of repentance that says, God, we've messed up, and we can't do this. We can't do this without you.
We do. And, you know, you have an army of people listening. If they would take time to pray for that revival, if they would take time to pray for people's hearts to change in their family and their neighborhood, they would take time to be able to go before the Lord Almighty and cry out to God that people would repent from their sins and accept Jesus as their personal Savior, that these people would understand that they can have new life by receiving forgiveness. You're going to see an incredible change in how people not only interact and behave, you're going to see in how they vote, and they vote their values, and they're consistent in wanting to do things like protect life, protect the persecuted church, protect Israel. And so the foundation of that change is prayer. And some of your listeners, they're prayer warriors. Others don't really know much how to pray. This is the time to go before a God that hears, loves, and knows.
Exactly. And again, how to pray. I want people to really understand this. Praying isn't just merely talking. Tell God. I mean, yeah, I don't care. You know, I mean, I say I don't care. And it doesn't matter. You know, you think you got to be some sort of eloquent prayer warrior. You know, God just wants to hear your heart. He knows anyway. So just lay it out. You know, some of my most fervent prayers have been at times when it was most painful, and I just had to tell God, hey, this doesn't feel good. I mean, this really is, you know, in my own vernacular, I would say this sucks. I know some people don't like that word, but it just, you know, and I apologize up front. Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. God understands that and understands that, you know, my emotions and that. And it's amazing when you can dump your bucket before God Almighty, the one who can really, really make a change. Because the fact of the matter is right now in our culture, Craig, it's a binary choice. But the beautiful thing about this, to your point exactly, is that we don't have to wait for an election. We can do it right now. We can do it right now. And God's just waiting, okay? He's just waiting for us to make the first move. And he says, look, if you come to me, you come toward me, I'm going to come toward you. And, you know, like that story of the prodigal, you know, God's just waiting. He's looking over the horizon for, you know, his creation to come back to him. And you watch how quick God, you know, ties up his robe to come running to us to be that answer that we're crying out for.
So you said so beautifully, because God is a God who heals.
Yes.
People listening, they have brokenness, they have fears, they have pain. They have disappointments. They've been treated unfairly. They've been, you know, they're in chains to things of the past. And God can free them of that. Mm-hmm. And God can free America of the chains right now of those who want to destroy the Christian foundation of this country, destroy the liberties that we have, destroy the economic engine that has lifted people out of poverty. In a way that no one could ever have dreamed in the past. And prayer is the foundation of seeing this change. So whether they've never prayed or whether they're prayer warriors, now is the time to be able to do that and pray that there would be a revival. Because the revivals, revivals have sparked the great social changes in America. It was revival with the first great awakening that changed America by people across America crying out to God for help and laid the foundation for the Declaration of Independence and for the Constitution. And then, as America fell away, much like it did today, back in the 1820s and 30s, there was revival again, the second great awakening, and people all over the United States. Basically, what happened is they repented. They asked mm-hmm. for God for forgiveness. They came to an understanding of the saving nature of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened, Bill? It was the abolition of slavery. It laid the foundation for freeing of the evil of slavery. And I'm a product of a mini revival that took place in the 70s, where there was so much incredible change. And what we need is a massive revival today.
Exactly.
And it starts with prayer. And that prayer, you know, we talk about how we have to have people out voting, and we have to get people out and change the 2022 election. It starts today with prayer.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And the softening of our hearts, and here we are, just past Pentecost Sunday, the time when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church, which Jesus himself had established. I mean, when you consider that, Craig, that the church, you know, is Jesus's legacy. And, there's lots to be critical about. But again, if we're not looking at through the filter of God and his heart, we can grow rather cynical and skeptical, especially at a point when it's really come down to a binary choice. It's like, okay, whose God are you going to serve? There's a small g God that's being offered by this current culture, and they're detracting us and trying to get in the way of the rightful and righteous intention of God Almighty. Are you going to serve the creator of heaven and earth, or are you going to serve this alleged cultural counterfeit God? Because that's really what this comes down to. Now, they're not so blatant as to say that. We know that many of its leaders are atheists. They don't believe in God Almighty. So, but you need to do a little bit of research and understanding who it is that you're following. Because let me give it to you straight. All roads do not lead to heaven. All right? That's a narrative. That is a false narrative that people want to serve up to you. But that is not the truth, and nothing but, Jack. You need to know the whole truth. And the whole truth is that there's only one road that leads to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ himself, the one and only. That is something that God set up, and you can honor it by accepting, by faith, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If not, heaven help you.
Bill, you said it beautifully. And the only thing I would add to that is people need to understand that some people proclaim that they're Christians and they're not. Some people are claiming some of these horrific policies that are going on, like raising the gay flag over the Vatican at the U.S. Embassy. Mm-hmm. That these are good things in the name of religion. It's not true, and we got to be sensitive about that. And we got to understand that this is really a spiritual warfare that's going on.
It really is. Right.
I mean, we just came off where the government closed down the churches, where people were prevented from praying or worshiping, where people were told, be in fear, stay at home, don't talk to people, hide your face, don't show them your smile.
See, that's what happens when you surrender your position in God, you become fearful. The state promoted the very thing, and that was antithetical to the solution. The solution was prayer, was asking God to deliver us from this virus, to give our scientists wisdom to deal with this in such a way. And what we got was, again, to your point, another false narrative.
It was. And so we're coming off a time of fear, a time of isolation. I've been in a state where the church is never closed, and the health of the church is great. I'm about ready to fly back to California, where there's such fear that some kids are like in these bubbles with masks on to keep from one another. I'm going back to a state where the court just gave close to $2 million to a North Korean refugee who's a pastor of a church because the court recognized the government should have not closed him down and threatened fines and jail.
Yes.
But it did happen. This happened in America, and it happened where the prayer groups were stopped. Fellowship of being able to be together and worship and studying the Bible stopped. And so it was a massive effort to stop prayer, to stop Christians, to destroy the church. And there are thousands of churches
exactly.
who will never open again.
So the bottom line, Craig, we got 30 seconds left. How did that work for them without God?
It did not work. But it's laid the foundation for people to understand the power of Christ, the power of God, and for that revival we've been talking about.
Exactly. And it also opens people's eyes to the power of the government that we have yielded to them, to allow them to do something, so abominable and so antithetical to our Constitution and our freedoms. Craig Huey, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Electionforum.org is where you want to go.